Coming through immigration, I came through the doors, and in the distance you see this like 7'6" tall cat. And you kind of, you have this like premonition of doom. And you're thinking, oh God, I hope that's not for me. And then you get like 25 feet away and you go, oh shoot. Or words to that effect. It is for me. And then they got wonderfully distracted and I snuck past. I was so proud of myself. Man. Whew. Okay. Okay, let me just compose myself. Oh yeah, that does it. You know, this is my 30th year in prophetic ministry. And I think it's the hardest gig in the world, being a prophet. Because you, everything you do costs you something. It's like, for me it seems like you pay a price that other ministries don't seem to pay. Most of what you do gets ignored. You fast, you pray, you get attacked, you go through stuff ahead of time. 90-odd% of the places you go to, the word that you've sweated blood to receive, you know in 6 months' time it's not going to make a dime's worth of difference. But you keep going because you have to release the word. You have to be faithful to what God is doing. I've seen so many words fall on stony ground. I've seen so many places that love the prophetic but never respond to it properly or fully. And it's like, you know, I think the deal is that people in North America love to respond to God, but they don't like the process that comes after it. So they like ministries where you can come up and get an impartation. And they hope that the impartation is going to change everything. But the impartation is designed to lock you into a process that you're supposed to respond to in an ongoing way. And I think a lot of the time, you know, we use certain ministries and it's a bit like, it's like magic. We come up and we hope we can get an impartation, someone lay hands on me and I will be magically, wonderfully brilliant. Without having to go through all the life process stuff of a real one-on-one walk with God. We want magic. One guy said to me in Kansas City, he said, I'd like you to lay hands on me and I'd like you to, you know, to transfer your anointing to me. Give me your anointing. And I looked at him and I said, are you stupid or something? If I downloaded to you right now my full anointing, we would be carrying you out of this place dead. Because you can't have my anointing because I suffered for it. I died for it. I got killed for it in more places than I can remember. If I transfer my anointing, I have to transfer all the pain and the suffering that went into it. And if you had that kind of a download, you would be dead. I mean, do you want to meet Jesus that quick? What's he asking for? I understand what's in his heart. What's he asking for, though? He's asking for magic. You cannot get out of walking with God. You cannot be magically elevated to walking with God. Every time a prophetic word comes, there's a response required, for sure. But then there is a process that takes place that we commit ourselves to with the assurance of the promise, if I commit myself to this process, this is going to happen. And so many times words of been spoken prophetically and received with joy, but abandoned in the course of life. And as a prophet, you face that. And you have to get over your bitterness about that. So that each time you stand up, you give a pure word from God. And I've striven to do that in 30 years. I have a passion for the church, which is unbelievable. I'm not blind to her flaws or her faults, but I love the church passionately. Because it's God's plan A. He doesn't have a plan B. We're it. Pretty scary thought, eh? But you know, as a prophet, you live for certain moments when you don't just get to prophesy something, you get to proclaim it. And there are certain times and certain moments when God gives you a word that no human being can prevent from occurring. He gives you a now word. He gives you a let there be word. He gives you a this is that word. He gives you a word that the moment you start to speak it, it creates something and it cannot be stopped. I was standing at the back this morning and God just started to speak to me about how to give this word. And it's like, I knew what I was supposed to do when I came here on Sunday morning. That's what the prophets do. They know what they have to do. They know what their objective is. They know what their agenda is, and they come and deliver it. And I knew what I had to do this morning. But just in the word, but God had hidden something from me. And so I had this kind of like prick of, you know, I'm not quite satisfied, but I don't know what it is. Then in the worship time, God began to speak to me about, so this is how I want you to say it. Graham, this isn't an ordinary prophecy you've got. This is a now word. This is a proclamation word. And it's going to come true the moment that you say it. It's going to come true the moment that you say it. And I find it interesting that the prayer that Jesse pulled out first from the jar was, bless Jesse and Karen, fulfill all their dreams. The word I've got this morning is that kind of a word. So I'm not here to preach. I'm here to proclaim something. I want to look you all in the eye, if I could, and just say, you can't stop this from happening. So ha. You cannot prevent this from taking place. Because you know what? God is not just speaking to who is here and what is here. Jesse, I believe God is speaking to the heritage of this church. And He's speaking to all the prayers and the tears and the fasting that have ever taken place in this congregation. And He's just saying the time for praying is over. The time to receive has come. And He's speaking to all the prophecies that have ever been declared in this place. And He is saying, this is the day of intercession and prophecy being fulfilled. And I'm here to declare this morning what God is going to do. I believe what God releases today is a sovereign move of God that does not depend on you. It depends upon His heart and what He wants to release. And so I'm standing there at the back and I'm crying. I'm saying, because it's like, this is such a treat. I'm saying, Lord, are You sure? It's like, are You sure I'm hearing properly? Are You sure I can do this? Are You sure that this is right? And then the last few songs we sung, that great song by Kevin Prosh, and there's a verse in there that says, the move of God we've cried out for will come. It will surely come. And God is shaking the heavens and will fill this house with glory. And the last song we sung is a line that just captured me. And it said, the future is here at last. There is no future move of God. There is a now move of God. And you can embrace it, or you can leave. And if you leave, that's okay, because God will replace you. But there is an anointing being released here. I'm going to speak to the desire of some and to the backslidden state of other people and all shades in between. But I believe as you respond to this word, all heaven is going to break loose. So I'd like you to turn to Ezekiel 47. I'm going to read from verse 1. Then he, that's the Lord, he brought me back to the door of the house. That's the temple. Ezekiel 47. And behold, water was flowing from under the threshold of the house toward the east. For the house faced east. And water was flowing down from under, from the right side of the house, from south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate, and led me around on the outside to the outer gate by way of the gate that faces east. And behold, water was trickling from the south side. And when the man went out towards the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he led me through the water, and the water reached the ankles. And again he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, water reaching the knees. And again he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, water reaching the loins. And again he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not ford. For the water had risen, enough water to swim in, a river that could not be forded. And he said to me, son of man, have you seen this? And he brought me back to the river, to the bank of the river. And when I had returned, behold, on the bank of the river, there were very many trees on the one side and on the other. And he said to me, these waters go out towards the eastern region and go down into the Arabah. Then they go towards the sea, being made to flow into the sea, and the waters of the sea become fresh. And it will come about that every living creature which swarms in every place where the river goes will live. And there will be very many fish. For these waters go there, and the others become fresh. So everything will live where the river goes. And it will come about that fishermen will stand beside it from Engedi to Eneglaim. There will be a place for the spreading of nets. Their fish will be according to their kinds, like the fish of the great sea, very many. But its swamps and marshes will not become fresh, they'll be left for salt. By the river on its bank, on the one side and on the other, will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. They will bear every month, because their water flows from the sanctuary, and their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for healing. Thank you. Now verses 9 to 12 there, I think, represent the dream of every Spirit-filled believer. I'm here to announce to you, to proclaim to you today, that God is measuring you right now for an ongoing move of the Spirit, which starts now, this moment. It's not a future thing, this is a now thing. Doesn't matter what you do, it's going to happen. It's going to come. It's already, I believe, it's already been trickling through these last few months. How many of us have had a sense in the last months that something's happening in the Spirit? You can't define it. Something has changed in the atmosphere. It's just that something is different. You're trying to get a hold of it. You're thinking to yourself, what is this? And half the time, how many of you are thinking half the time, you know, that it's just... You want to let your spirit go out to explore what it might be, but you're scared. Yeah? How many's like that? You're scared, like, so I don't want to get in that. I don't want to go out there and dream again because my dreams have hurt me in the past. How many of us feel like that? I've dreamt before, and I've prayed, and I've cried, and I've fasted, and I thought this was it, and then it wasn't. And you feel again that sense of pull in the spirit. Like something is happening, but it's like you almost halfway don't dare to believe that this could be it. But your dreams are going to be fulfilled. Because God wants you living in the unfolding of prophecy. Go back and look at all the words that have been spoken over this church. And over these next weeks, just begin to proclaim them. Because every word that God has spoken prophetically over this congregation will come to pass in the next few years. They will come to pass. But then we are going to start stepping into our own prophetic words. We're going to start wearing them. We're going to start praying through them. We're going to start believing in them. We're going to encase ourselves with them. We're going to go to battle with them. We're going to wage war with the word spoken over us. And the Lord's going to be, you're going to hear it in the spirit. Every time you lift your heart to God in this next time period, you're going to hear, this is that, this is that, this is that, this is that. This is that, this is that, this is that, this is that which was spoken, this is that which was spoken, this is that which was spoken, this is that which was spoken. You're going to hear it in the spirit. Prophecy being fulfilled, and you're going to walk in the unfolding of prophecy. And every day you wake up, words that were spoken 10, 15, 20 years ago, you're going to be living in the unfolding of those words. That everything you do in the next season has been prophesied in the previous one. And you're going to live with that sense of the now word of God coming to pass. And there's going to be a creativity that will flow out of this church because the now word of God is going to come to the unsuspecting. The now word of God is going to come into the town, into the city, into the region, into the state. The now word of God is going to be released. And we're going to see it. It's going to thunder from heaven. You're going to hear it in the storms. You're going to hear it in the night. You're going to hear that this is that which was spoken. Because I believe in this place, there's a great heritage in this whole area. And I believe the time of praying and anguishing and importuning God is coming to a close. And now we need to be praying differently. Now it's not a time for us to be almost begging God to do something. Now it's going to be a time for us to stand up and declare to the Lord, we believe this is what you're doing. So we ask you to do it in the name of Jesus. And even the way in which we pray is going to change. It's going to be prayers of declaration, prayers of proclamation. And we're going to find ourselves going out and doing weird things. Like carrying oil everywhere and marking territory. Like some charismatic Rottweiler. Marking territory. Going down to places that shouldn't be operating and marking and declaring this has got to close down and move. And we're going to be marking places for blessing. And you're going to be going out into waste places and you're going to be walking around it and marking it, the borders of it with oil and saying, Lord, put a business there. Put a company there. And God's going to give you targets to aim at particular companies who are going to move into the area because there's a prosperity going to come into this region. The Lord is saying, I'm going to teach you how to live in the prophetic, in the unfolding of it. You're going to be doing prophetic acts every day. Something's going to occur. And God's just going to send a bunch of you to this place and you're going to proclaim something and something's going to happen. Because there is a prophetic anointing in this place. And God trusts the prophetic anointing in this place. Because it's real, it's not false. Behind the prophetic, this is always the kind of the premise that we live on in the prophetic. And it's this, when the opportunity of a lifetime comes, we must make sure that we act within the lifetime of the opportunity. We're going to learn how to move quickly, quickly, quickly. And God's going to say something to us, and you know what, the same day or the next day, we're going to be finding ourselves doing it. And God is going to download a prophetic anointing into this place, where, you know, we'll all be prophesying in one way or another. But we'll be going out doing prophetic acts because I sense a real urgency in the Spirit over this area. But God is measuring you for a blessing. He's going to move you into a deeper flow of the Spirit. You know, there are some people here right now, and you're walking in the shallows with God. Now, I just want to speak to the backsliders in our midst right now. You're the guys who haven't got a decent prayer life. You're the guys who compartmentalize your life and you have the bigger slice of it and you give God a small part of it. That's a backslidden state. Because God demands total surrender. Anything less than that is varying degrees of backsliddenness. Speaking to the guys who've maybe never led anyone to Christ. Never commit yourself wholeheartedly to anything. You just give a part of yourself and you withhold the rest for your own life. That's a backslidden state. I speak to you in the name of Jesus and I proclaim to you that God is measuring you for a blessing. And He's going to push you out into deeper water. And you're going to find yourself not being satisfied with life as it is. You're going to find yourself that all your heart that expends itself and all your on so many different pleasures but not God, you're going to find that heart being squeezed in the day to come. And you're going to find that the Holy Spirit is going to push you and push you and push you into a deeper place of intimacy, into a deeper place in the Spirit. It's going to push you out beyond where you are, beyond your current level of selfishness, into a place of surrender in God. And as long as you stay here, it's going to push you. So if you don't want to be pushed, you're going to have to leave. But you know, if you do leave, that'll be okay, because God will just bring in somebody to take your place. But in a time to come later on, you will live with such regret. But that's your business, not mine. If you're in a shallow place of spirituality right now, God is saying to you, I am measuring you for a blessing. The line has gone out. And I'm going to pull you out into a deeper place in the Spirit. And I'm going to touch you and I'm going to flow over you. The water level's going to rise. Holy Spirit's going to fall and I am going to touch you. I'm going to impregnate you. I'm going to push 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 you into a deeper place in the Spirit. And the only way you can resist me is by leaving. If you leave, there's just a desert out there waiting for you. So make a choice. Life in the Spirit is about making choices. If you stay here, I'm going to push you. You know, because we're going to have a leadership here that doesn't apologize for what God is doing. Yeah? So we're going to push together. We're going to learn how to push together in the Spirit. So when we come together in our meetings, we're going to push. We're going to press in. Because this is the season, the Lord says, when all, you know, all your dreams, all prophetic words, all cries of intercession have been answered. And the Lord is saying, yes, and now. Yes, and now. Yes, and now. So the Holy Spirit is going to teach you how to press in. You're going to be writing songs that are responses in worship to yes and now. And you're going to be saying yes now. You know, and that spirit of procrastination where we always put things off until tomorrow, I bind it, I curse it, and I break it in Jesus' name. Because you're going to be saying yes now. Now, yes. And everywhere you go, it's going to be yes now. Yes now. Yes now. And you're going to see something happen. Because this is a prophetic community. If you're walking in the shallows, there are some people here who were out in a deep place. You've been out in a deep place and you've tasted some of the deep things of God. But something happened to you and you got burned. And you got broken. and you turned and you walked away from the water and you walked back into the shallows. And the Lord is saying, you're still mine. I'm still Lord. And I'm turning you around and I'm pushing you out. Not just to the place you used to occupy, I'm pushing you out beyond that. Way beyond that. I'm pushing you out to the place where your dreams live. That's where I'm pushing you. I'm pushing you to the place where you meet your dreams and your prophecies, because they're waiting out there for you to get there in the Spirit, for you to get there in your yes. And I'm pushing you out to the place where your prophecy is. And I'm pushing you out to a place where your dream is. And when you get to that place, there's going to be an explosion. And everything you've cried out for is going to come to you. Everything you've longed for is going to come to you. Everything you ached for, cried for, is going to come to you. I'm turning you around. And I'm pushing you back out into a deep place. And as long as you stay here, you can't stop me. Yeah, I proclaim that in Jesus' name. All those in a backslidden state, in a shallow place of the Spirit, God is measuring you for a blessing. And there are people right now who, they're at a place of knee deep. You've come into a place of surrender in the last few years. And you've begun to realize that the only way you can live in the Spirit is by surrendering your life on a continuous basis. And the Lord has been touching lives here, and long-standing problems and disorders and things like that are starting to be dealt with. But the Lord says there's an anointing on that to increase it. The Lord says this is the time to get revenge on everything that has plagued you. And the Lord says every disorder of every kind is going to be dealt with in this next season. But there are healings that are going to come to long-standing problems. Long-standing relational difficulties are going to get healed and restored. The prosperity is going to come back into houses and homes. The prodigals are going to be restored. And the Lord says, this is a place of surrender where when He starts to touch the thing in your life that's bothering you, and as you surrender to it, He's measuring you for a blessing in that area of your life. So there are miracles that are going to occur. There are signs and wonders amongst us that the glory of God is going to come, and gradually the level of water is going to rise in this place. But also, it's not just about the water level rising, it is about the water level falling. And the two things coming together are going to meet. This is the time, says the Lord, when if you will surrender things in your life to me, I will do things that you haven't even dreamed of yet. There is a power going to be displayed that will make you gasp with astonishment. Because one of the things you're going to have to learn to live with in this place is how to be fully engaged and totally astonished by God. You know, we live between these places of dullness and astonishment. Jesus stood around and looked at people sometimes and says, you know, these people are so dull in their hearing. It's interesting that the last few words of the book of Acts are about dullness. I believe the Lord is going to help us recapture our sense of astonishment. Yeah, I believe that the conference we've just had, Life, Love and Laughter, it's one of the best events I think I've ever done, ever, in 30 years. Because you got to talk about things about God that are more real than we can imagine. And I felt like we were sowing something out there. I felt like we'd made a statement, like we plowed up hard ground and planting seeds everywhere that are going to grow. And I believe that this, what I'm doing today, is like the deluge of water that's going to nourish that seed and cause it to grow. You know, life, love and laughter is a lifelong commitment. And God is going to teach us continually what life in the Spirit is, what loving God is, what laughter and joy really is. And we're going to see heaven come to earth in that context. It's time God's going to push you into new levels of submission, new levels of saying, yes, Lord, new levels of surrender. And we're going to learn, some of us, to stop fighting God and blaming the enemy for things that are happening. Some of the things that happen to us come as a result of our own resistance to God. It's not always the enemy that does stuff. Sometimes we are just reaping what we have sowed. If you sow resistance, you don't reap protection, that's for sure. God's going to take us into a deeper place of prayer, a deeper place of devotion. But there is going to be a massive internal submission to the Lordship of Christ. But this is the day when our dreams are being fulfilled. This is the day when prophecy spoken is going to be realized. But God is saying, I'm measuring you for a blessing. Do you know all the current circumstances of your life? They are designed to bring you to your knees. The sooner you learn to surrender, the happier your life is going to be. Isn't that the truth? When you resist God, you resist the life that He wants to give you. And you end up poor and poverty stricken and unbelieving. Place of surrender. Place where you're going to go from good to great. You're going to surrender to a new flow of the Spirit. There is going to be an anointing to hear God more clearly. And God is going to upgrade your sensitivity in the Spirit. He's going to upgrade the prophetic ability in this house. You have to get ready for an upgrade. We're not traveling economy class anymore in the Spirit. We're getting an upgrade. And I believe God is going to release a fresh personal anointing on your life to fall in love with God at new depth. To surrender to a new depth of revelation, but also to surrender to a new depth of power that comes with that revelation. There is an anointing in this place that's going to grow for healing and for deliverance and for signs and for wonders. But you're going to learn to say yes to a deeper level of faith. And there are those of us here right now, we're already waist deep, we're already up to our loins in the water. And we're longing for something deeper. We're longing for the majesty of the power of God to fall. We're longing for the presence of God to be in our midst. And we've made decisions. Show me where you are. You've made decisions that you'll do anything to see the majesty of God's presence come. You show me where you are. You're saying, I'll pay a price. It doesn't matter if nobody else does. I'll pay a price. I want to see it. I want to live for something. I want to live for something way beyond where I am. And I don't care if it kills me. I want to see something happen. Because if it doesn't happen, I'm going to die anyway. But I don't want to die unfulfilled. I want to die happy. I want to die blessed. I want to die full. I don't want to die empty. I want to die full. I want to live for something beyond me. You know, we've got to a place where we don't want to have a half-life anymore. We want everything. You know, we're waist deep right now. But we want to go further. We want to be out of control. We want to see a move of God so out of control, it's astonishing. We want to be astonished by God. We want to see Him move in such a way that gasps of astonishment is part of our daily life. What's God going to do today? And we live with a sense of wonder. And we live with a sense of amazement and astonishment. And every day things are happening that on other days at other times would freak us out, but now they're not because our dreams are being fulfilled and we're just going to learn how to go with the flow from heaven. And we're going to learn that heaven is very different from earth. And what on earth we might call bizarre, heaven just calls real and normal. And God is going to break out in our midst because the whole renewal movement was just a taster. It was an appetizer. It wasn't the entree. It wasn't the main course. But the main course is coming. We don't settle for picnics. The main course is coming. You know, the whole loin thing is about the anointing to reproduce. And there is a productivity that is going to rise in this place, and our faith is going to rise to meet it. And we're going to go from great to mighty, because God is looking to release the equivalent of David's mighty men in the earth. Mighty men, mighty women. But you read about them in Scripture, and you think, wow, what would it have been like to be like that? Well, you're going to get a chance to find out. You're going to get a chance to find out. And so you should read about these guys and these girls. They were odd people. Thank God for that. Because the world cannot be saved by reasonable people. It can only be saved by the unusual. That's why I'm out here. I don't mind admitting that I'm odd. I don't mind admitting that I have strange days, that I have strange dreams, strange hopes. The world cannot be saved by reasonableness. It's saved by a dynamic faith that will do whatever God tells it to do. Mighty men, mighty women. Who would you like to stand next to in a battle? One person who can kill 1,000 or 1,000 people who can't kill one. When you're in a battle and your life depends upon it, you better be next to someone strange who likes to fight. Huh? Like the guy who slew 800 people with a spear. I want him on my team. Like the guy Shammah, who when all Israel, they were attacked, all Israel fled, and he defended a patch of lentils like a wild man. And you can say, Shammah, Matt, it's just a patch of lentils, man. And he looks you right in the eye and said, I dug this ground, I planted them, I watered them, I'm eating them. They're my lentils. Okay. Okay. I want him on my team. What about the idiot who's out walking his lunch off on a Sunday afternoon, walking through a forest, hears a lion growling and snarling? Any sensible, reasonable, ordinary person would creep in the opposite direction. What does this plank do? He walks up to a pit where there's a lion in and jumps in. I want him on my team. I want that guy. I want that guy because he's not afraid of anything. He's an idiot. But I want him. He's a total balloon, but I want him. He's probably going to get me killed, but I want him. I don't want someone who tiptoes away from danger. I don't want someone who tiptoes away from the excitement. I want someone who's fully committed, fully engaged. I want to walk in fellowship with that person. Mighty people do things beyond reason, because that's the time that we're living in. I want him on my team. I want guys who cannot be stopped. Stoned 5 times, left for dead, beaten, at the mercy of robbers, out in the deep, in the ocean for a night and a day. I want people who can be bitten by a snake but can just shrug it off and like nothing happened. Because there's something in them that cannot be overcome. Do you know that's the place where God is taking us? And you know what? For some of us, that's going to mean a personality transplant. That is true. Okay, quick straw poll now. How many of us are sick of just being ordinary? I don't want to be ordinary anymore. I want to be somebody. I want to make a difference. I want to see something happen. I don't want to give my life to that. I want to see things reproduced. There is a reproductive anointing that's going to come to this place. I tell you what, even things like anybody who can't have children are going to come to this place and get healed. Because there is a life here, and barrenness will not be able to cope with the life that is present. barrenness will not be able to cope with the life that is present. I tell you what, couples are going to come. Hospitals are going to refer people to this church. Why? Because there's a miracle here. They're going to say, we don't know why it happens, but we can't do anything for you. But we know there's a church and they have an anointing to pray. The people who can't have kids, we suggest you go there. And you're going to get referrals from places. Yeah? Because everything that connects with the river that comes through this church is going to live. Yeah? It's going to live. It's going to live. And people with terminal illnesses are going to get referred to this church. Because when you pray, life is going to come. Because what God is saying, in my presence there is life. So life is going to come in this place. There are going to be extraordinary anointings that are going to propel you into extraordinary places that maybe normally you wouldn't be thinking of, that this is a part of our vision. But life is going to emerge in such a way that many of you are going to be taken up into a ministry that you never thought you'd be able to do. But life is going to flow from this place. Why? Because you're being measured for blessing. You're being measured for that kind of a life. You're being measured for that kind of reproductive faith and anointing. That life is going to flood out of this place in such a way that people are going to come here to connect. They're going to come here for prayer. They're going to come here. Find it interesting. Here we are laying hands on people, you know, and commissioning is an authority. We just anointed elders today who are going to be elders of a church they've never even seen. Yeah? They're going to be elders of a church beyond their wildest dreams. Because God is doing everything superabundantly beyond what we can ask or think. That's why you've had wild dreams in the past. How many have had wild dreams? Like bizarre dreams of anointing and the presence of God. Why does God give you wild dreams? Because He's taking you to a place beyond your wildest dreams. And whatever that dream is, the Lord is saying the reality is actually the other side of that dream. That dream is as far as you can go in your thinking. But God is doing beyond that dream, beyond that. There is a breakthrough spirit here that's going to touch like fires, dig wells all over Canada, all over the US, all over the world. There is a pioneering leadership. I don't know if any of these guys realized it, but they've set themselves up to be a pioneering leadership. You're going to create a church that's never been seen in Canada. It's never been seen. But God is doing a new thing. I'm doing a new thing. Don't consider the things of old because it's not there. The future has come to today. But we're building a church we've never seen. Actually, you know what? Those guys are going to need some grace, some extra grace, yeah, from you. They're going to need some extra mercy. They're going to need a lot of prayer. But they're going to be leading a pioneering church. But they're going to be leading it into a, they're going to be pioneering into a place they've never seen. And there is a verse for that in Scripture, which is Hebrews 11 and verse 8. He says this, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. What's that mean? He walked off his map. Yeah? He walked off his map. Beloved, we are going to be walking off whatever grid you imagine church to be. We're walking off that. We're walking off the map of what church should be. We're walking off the map even of what church could be. We're walking into a map of what church will be. And you guys are pioneers of that. You guys are the forerunners of that. Because God is measuring you for a blessing today. But you're going to walk off your map. There's going to be a greater fruitfulness. greater productivity. But this is a church that's not just going to live for itself. It's going to live for what God is doing out there. There's a kingdom anointing in this house. You know, the blessing on your life is going to be big enough for anybody that you connect with. And you know what? No one is going to be safe. No one's going to be safe from your anointing. No one is safe from the blessing that you have. Let me say again, all the prophetic words spoken over you corporately, every prophetic word spoken over you personally, is going to come to pass in the next few years. And the Lord's going to be training you in the Spirit to live in the unfolding of prophecy. Get those words out, pray over them, read them, begin to declare them, begin to interact with them, begin to ask the Lord, so what should I be? If this is going to come true, how do I position myself? Start questioning the Lord. What is it? How should I position myself right now? What kind of person should I become to see this thing fulfilled? There is a place where God is taking us to where we are going to be in over our head. But the flow of the Spirit is so strong, you're going to be swept away by it. And you know what? On days, you're not even going to be in control of your day. Because our days will be ordered by the Lord. Our steps will be ordered by the Lord. Things will happen. And some days, you won't be able to get done the stuff that you want to do because God's doing other stuff. And you'll just get caught up in the flow of what God is doing and saying. You'll go out for lunch and you'll end up praying for the whole restaurant. And that'll wreck your day. I tell you, you'll go into places where you will be convinced that God wants to heal people, and you'll stand up and you'll just tap on your glass to get everyone's attention, and you'll just say, the Lord is here to heal. Anybody who wants to be prayed for, I'm going to pray for you. Because you'll be in over your head. You'll be totally wrapped up in who God is to such a degree that He owns every minute of your day. You're going to find yourself sleeping less, but not being tired. You're going to find yourself being refreshed every day. You can work like a dog one day in the kingdom, but the next day you're just as fresh. You're going to find what it is to live fresh every day, to be strong every day. And those of us right now who've got problems with our fitness and our stamina and everything else, you know, God is going to deal with that. Because you're going to have a stamina in the Spirit that is beyond your capacity in the flesh. You're going to be in over your head, out of control, swimming. The water level is rising, and there's an outpouring. You know, it's about pressure of water. The current and the flow are going to pick up speed. And when you feel that tug, that undercurrent, you're going to be swept away in it. You're going to be fully engaged in it. God's going to send you to places and you will go, you will pray, and you will declare and you will proclaim. And you'll see things happen. And there'll be that strange dynamic where people are really scared of you, but no one can stay away. It's like this really weird church. I don't know if I want to go there, but they feel pulled. But everyone who comes into this building, or whatever building God gives you next, anybody who comes into that building is going to come under a weight of anointing. You know, that's already happened in your history. Yeah? That used to happen in your history. What was that? That was a taste. That was God laying down a marker. You've had strange things. Think back over the strange things that have happened in the Spirit over your history. That was God laying markers down. That's God saying, this is what you're going to have. I'm giving you a taste right now, and then I'm going to clean house. God gives you tastes of the miraculous, and then the miraculous fades for a season, and God cleans house. He cleans up our act. He cleans up our marriages. He cleans up our lives. He cleans up the filthiness of the flesh. He cleans up our attitude. He cleans up. He doesn't just cleans up, but He clears out as well. Yeah? And when God has marked a place,
for something high in the supernatural, he cleans house and he clears away. We've had some house cleanings here, eh? We've had some clearances, eh? Some of those people will come back because they're prodigals. That's fine, but God has cleaned house and he's cleared away dead wood. When God does gives you a taste of the supernatural, that's what comes next. Why? Because he doesn't want the supernatural just in a visitation form. He wants it in a habitation form. So he has to clean house and clear away. He may have still some more cleaning to do, but I hope he hasn't got any more clearing away to do. But you know that depends upon you, eh? You know, we're looking for a church that can go beyond revival. Because revival is not it. Revival is the start of something. Revival is not an outcome. Revival is the start of something. It's a starting point for domination of the enemy. Don't think of revival as an outcome. It's not. It is the beginning of days. It's also the beginning of sorrows if you haven't cleaned up your act. Revival is the starting of something, not the ending. Yeah? It's not an object to achieve. It's a place to get to so that we can really begin. Revival is a starting point for domination of the enemy. What God is looking for is a place where he can touch down, where heaven can touch down with earth. In the old days, in the Celtic tradition, they called them portals or thin places. Thin places. Where the membrane between the kingdom of heaven and the earth was so thin, God could just pierce it anytime he wanted. A thin place. I believe this is going to be a thin place. Touch the heavens, release things on the earth. To build and establish the kingdom of heaven and a kingdom presence. An anointing to establish a reality of God's presence. But it's also an anointing to overthrow the evil one in this area. You know, the two things we need in warfare. We need a passionate love for Jesus that's deep, but we need an intense hatred of the devil and all his works, and we need to go after him. I remember once being in Detroit with a black pastor called Robert Earl Joyce. His name is R.E. Joyce, Rejoice, and the whole neighborhood, the police, everybody, all call him Rejoice. Because that's what he does all day long. He rejoices. One of the happiest guys you'll ever meet. But he sits in an area of downtown Detroit, and he owns, spiritually, about 8 blocks of territory. And he controls what comes into that 8 blocks just through prayer. It used to be the worst crime area in the city. Now there's hardly any crime at all. It used to be the most drug-ridden place in the city. No drugs there at all. I remember I was sat in his office, and we were chatting and laughing. And he looked out the window and he went, "My God, I don't believe it." Gets up, runs out of the place, runs down the stairs. I'm watching through the window. He runs across the street. He grabs hold of this guy. He pushes him up against the wall and he starts threatening him. A guy pulls out a gun. Rejoice just goes, "Shoot me then." The guy goes to shoot him. Nothing happens. And then he just threatens him like this, you know, and the guy runs away. And he comes back in, he said, "What a knife! What a knife! Guy's selling drugs on my patch." I told him, you got choices, man. You can put this away and get saved, or I'll kill you. You can walk out of here with life in God, or you will drop dead right now. The guy pulls out a gun, Rejoice says, "You'll fire the thing. Come on, man, pull it. Pull it. Pull it. But if I don't die, you might." The guy runs off. What's that? What is that? That ladies and gentlemen, is a territorial spirit. Do you know, God is the one true, great, original territorial spirit. He is the one who marked out Israel's territory from the Euphrates down to this mountains, the mountains down to the Great Sea. You read in the Old Testament where he apportioned land to the tribes. What is that? That is a territorial spirit in action. And that spirit's going to come to us. Because we're going to see, you know, there's a piece of territory out there that's got your name on it. And you're going to know where it is. You're going to know what street it is. I know what streets are mine in Southampton. I walk up and down. I pray. I ask the Lord what he's doing in those houses, and I pray for it. We take territory. We walk physically down roads. We walk around apartment blocks. We mark places with oil like charismatic Rottweilers, marking our territory. Praying, Lord, just let this thing fall to you. Being territory-minded and out of control in the Spirit. Doing what the Lord is saying, not doing what is reasonable. But when you hear the word of the Lord come in these days, it's not going to be earthed in reason and logic. And you won't be able to receive it in that way. You can only receive it, revelation in your spirit. You can't receive revelation in your mind. Your mind can only receive information. Your mind processes things logically. Your spirit processes revelation in the spirit. So you have to go to your spirit. And the vehicle that takes a word, a revelatory word from your spirit to your mind is faith. If that word comes to your mind, it doesn't come to your faith, your mind will talk you out of doing it. That doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make any sense. That doesn't sound like God. Send 22,000 guys away when you're already outnumbered 4-1. That doesn't sound like God. What, we're going to send guys down to the river, and whoever drinks the water in a certain way will keep them, but everybody else can leave? That doesn't sound like God. We walk around the most fortified city on the face of the earth for 6 days and say nothing, and on the seventh day we're going to shout and the walls are going to come down. You need some help, pal. That doesn't sound like God. We're out fishing one night and somebody's walking on the water and you get an urge to walk out there as well. So you say, if that's you, Lord, can I come? Is that God? It's weird, but it's God. You cross over into the promised land and you're surrounded by an enemy that's got better weapons and stronger armies and bigger guys, and God calls all the men to be circumcised. So they're all walking around like John Wayne for 3 weeks. That doesn't sound like God. Why now? Shouldn't we have done this before? Why wait until we get in the land of the enemy, then we render ourselves completely useless for fighting? That doesn't sound like God. Oh, but it is. Okay, we're going to start a church, so let's find all the most brilliant people in the world. Let's find the most charismatic, the most intelligent, the most wise, the most together people on the face of the earth, and let's form church to the glory of God. But God doesn't choose. He chooses mostly weak, foolish, and base people. So we all should kind of feel at home somewhere in there. Doesn't sound like God. There's a big council in heaven. The archangels are there, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. What kind of church do we want? They're all saying, we should choose these people, we should choose that people. And the Father says, I know, why don't we choose all the idiots? Why don't we choose the people that nobody else wants? Why don't we choose people who've got a history of foolishness? That'll be cool. Why don't we choose people that everybody's favorite person who's not going to make it? I was voted the person most likely to spend half their life in prison. But I only had one taste of it. That was enough for me. I got out of the life. What if we choose all those people? What if we choose dumb and dumberer? What if we choose the people that everyone goes, him? Huh? I don't get it. How can he be doing that stuff? Her? I used to know her at school. How is she doing that stuff? I don't get it. It's got to be God. Bizarre, eh? Welcome to Planet Bizarro. A church out of control. Who are the people here who will just give your life for a taste of going in over your head? Being out of control. It's going to cost you everything. But you know what? What you've got right now is costing you anything, everything anyway. Think about it logically. What you've got right now is costing you everything and causing you misery. You may as well get the benefit. Let's pray. Father, thank you. I believe this is the day when all prayers uttered in this place, all times of intercession in long years past, all times of praying and fasting and weeping and wailing and calling out and crying out, this is the day when those prayers are being answered. I believe this is the day when all prophecies spoken in previous times, whether we have held on to it or not, is going to be fulfilled. I believe this is the day when all the dreams that we have had, all the achings and the longings in our heart to see God move, this is the day when dreams are being fulfilled. This is the day of the Lord. This is the accepted time. Now is the hour. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, let there be word into this congregation. That this passage of Scripture will be fulfilled in reality. Again and again and again and again and again, until we are light years beyond the kind of church we are right now. Until we are light years beyond the kind of people we are right now. Until we are people. Because you declare that we are people who are going to be living the dream. We are going to be living the prophecy. We're going to be living out our answered prayers. We're going to be living in answered prayer. We're going to be living in fulfilled prophecy. Living in the unfolding of prophecy. We're going to be living the dream. So Father, I pray, let the water level rise in this place. And Lord, as we look through all the prophetic words spoken, I pray that you will quicken them to us in the name of Jesus. I pray for the leadership of this house, Lord, that you will begin to unfold to them strategy and tactics in terms of how we can respond and position ourselves for the deluge that is coming, for the deluge that is here, because the water level is rising. And I ask, Lord, that you will take our hope and turn it into faith. In the name of Jesus, I ask that a confidence will begin to emerge in our hearts. And I ask, Lord, that you will deal with our historic disappointments and restore us to new and fresh faith. This is the day of the Lord. This is the day when we get to live the dream. And so I proclaim that, Father. I proclaim that you are measuring this church for a blessing. That you are measuring this church for a move of God unprecedented in Canada's history. That you are measuring this church for a move of God unprecedented in Canada's history. I know, Lord, that people are going to write books about this church. People are going to come to this place for a move of God unprecedented in this nation's history. I declare that and I proclaim that in the name of Jesus. let's just wait.